Good to be back here this morning. If you would, I want you to turn to Luke, the 13th chapter, the 34th verse. Luke 13, 34. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word this morning, if you would. Luke 13, 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doeth gather her brood under her wings. And this is the last part I want you to pay attention to, because I'm going to be preaching on this morning. And ye would not. That's sad, is it not? And ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving on my heart, Lord. I thank you for the grace that Mike sung about here this morning. I thank you, Father, for one day giving me that jailbreak, Lord, that you give me in my life one day there. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the blood that Teresa sang about this morning. I pray for all that, Lord, that if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, that this very day, that this very morning would be the time, would be the appointed hour, that they would come to know you as their Savior. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy and precious name. And amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord this morning. I want to preach on you cannot hug a porcupine this morning. You want to know how that goes along with this sermon this morning? Lord willing, I will get to that here in a little bit. But I titled it, You Cannot Hug a Porcupine. I don't believe God will make anyone do what they don't want to do. Do you believe that this morning? Yep. You are free. You are a free moral agent, as we said. God will not make you do anything that you do not want to do. I want you to understand that this morning. He will not. And I believe this scriptures, like many others throughout the Bible, proves this morning. And this is no doubt, when you read this verse, you can see the love, you can see the compassion, then you can see the love and the compassion that God had and that His Son had for people. I'm here to tell you this morning, you may think this morning that you are unlovable, but I'm afraid to tell you that is not right this morning, because God loves you. Jesus loves you this morning. Beyond anything that you could ever imagine, He loves you this morning. As He looked upon the city, He was looking down upon the city of Jerusalem. And when He looked down upon them, He wasn't talking about the bricks. He wasn't talking about the stones that the streets were made of. He wasn't talking about the shops. He was talking about the people that were in that city and how that He loved them, how that He longed to care for them, how that He longed to be everything to them that they would just let Him be. It was a people of the city of Jerusalem that concerned Jesus. And can I tell you something this morning? He is concerned with the people that are in this building this morning. He is concerned with the people that are outside this building. He is concerned with the people that are in your family, that are in my family. He is concerned with your friends. He's concerned with your co-worker. He's concerned with every one of them. But again, I say, you cannot hug a porcupine. You can't do it. They had not comprehended His purpose for coming. They didn't understand why Jesus had came. They could not comprehend it. He went on to them, He said, they killed the prophets that God had sent to warn them. And even though they had done horrible things down through the years, Jesus said, I still would have compassion on them. I would still love them. I would still come and be the God to them and be the Savior to them that is needed to be. If only they would have let me, I would have done it. And those words that Jesus said, they ring in my ear when I was reading about this week. Ye would not. They didn't want nothing to do with it. They didn't want anything to do with it. He still loved them and was reaching out to them. I'm here to tell you, listen, He was saying, if you only knew what I wanted to do for you, if you only knew what I wanted to take care of in your life. If you only knew what I could do for you. And yet, you're down there saying, yet they would not. I'm here to tell you, folks, I am amazed sometimes. I'm amazed. All he wanted to do was to provide and to care for them. As a minister, I had a rough time trying to get this sermon together this morning. I battled, and you've heard me say this time and time again, I battled with God about preaching this, because I'm going to pour my heart out to you this morning about what I feel and what I think about some things sometimes. All he wanted to do was to minister to them and to provide. Doesn't that sound awesome? Doesn't that sound great to you? That's what Jesus wanted? There's only one problem, though. They rejected everything that he was trying to do. They wouldn't do it. And we're at a place, can I say this? And I want to speak this in generalities here this morning. In society today, we are at that same place as a society today. And sometimes whenever you listen to me preach, you think I'm just talking about the United States. I'm not. I'm talking about the world. Christianity reaches out to the whole world. We are at a place in society where Jesus wants to do so much for these people, so much for everyone. He wants to do so much for people, yet they would not, and they will not today, allow him to do that in their lives today. Because I know the impact of what I'm about to say this morning. I know what I'm about to say this morning, and I've wrestled with it. Not that it's all negative, not that it's that way, not in no way, shape, or form that it is. I'm going to share some things to you, like I said, from my heart this morning. I'm going to share some things with you that bother me sometimes. One of the things as a minister that befuddles and confuses me is why people will not let me or Jesus or anybody else minister to people. And you say, what are you talking about, Dave? Listen, there have been many folks that I have went and I have talked to about how that Jesus can change their lives. And you've heard me preach about it up here time after time again, how that Jesus can change lives. I truly believe that. I am not standing up here saying something just to be saying it, because I've seen how he works, Tim. I've seen how Jesus truly can work in people's lives whenever they let him, whenever they let him do it. It's the same problem that Jesus experienced. Let me say this morning, I will minister to anyone who will allow me to minister to them. Can I say it again? I will minister to anyone that will allow me to minister to them. Let me say it again. You cannot hug a porcupine. You can't do it. It's not possible. I will minister to you knowing that I cannot override the choice and will of the individual who the Lord is trying to minister to or who I am trying to minister to. You cannot override their will. Do you understand that here this morning? They have a will. They have that. Praise God. We are supposed to go out and compel them to come. Compel them to come. We can compel. We can't save. We can't change people's lives. We can only show them how that Jesus has changed our lives. We cannot change their lives for them. No matter how much we want to, no matter how much we try, we cannot do that. We can merely stand here and preaching. Me just merely stand here and preaching the word to you this morning. You know what? It will not make a difference in your life. Now I'm going to put a caveat on this. God's word can make a difference. But it will not make a difference in anyone's life here this morning if you do not take the word of God into your life, take it in there, and apply it to your life. That is the only way that the word of God will make a difference in anybody's life.
Amen.
I can stand up here and tell you that God can change your life. I can stand up here and preach it because the Word of God tells me that it can change your life. And that if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, and that if you come and accept Jesus into your life, and you are changed and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, it will change your life.
Right.
I can tell you that till I'm blue in the face up here. But if you do not accept that, if you do not take it in and apply that to your life, it will never, ever change your life. Do you agree with me on that? Say amen if you're here with me this morning. Amen. It will not change your life. You cannot hug a porcupine. I'm going to keep saying that. You cannot do that. I do not choose to apply the word. You know, if you do not choose to apply the word and let it transform you, you'll never be transformed. It'll never happen. Instead of you trying to transform the word to fit your life, I've been there. I've seen it. People tried to take the word of God and make it fit their lifestyle. Have you seen it? I see it today. I read an article the other day, and at the end of the article, it had a comment sections down below it. And what it was, an article was about, it was about something that was going on in the world and how that God can change people's lives. And at the bottom of it, this one guy put a comment. It was a comment down at the bottom. It said this. It said, "We live in the 21st century. It's about time we got rid of the Bible." I'm here to tell you the Bible is the same. God was the same yesterday, today, forevermore. The Word of God is the same. Do you understand that? It will never change. Don't let yourself be fooled into thinking that God's Word will ever be outdated. If you want to be transformed and you get into God's Word and let it transform you, instead of you trying to make God's Word fit you, it will transform you. It'll make you what you didn't think that you can be. God's word is a transforming word. It is that. Listen, instead of you trying to, myself or for the matter of any of you, listen, visiting a loved one, even at their deathbed, I cannot change them on my own. Do you get that here this morning? I can visit them in the hospitals. I can visit them at the nursing home. I can visit them at their homes. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you cannot hug a porcupine, because it will not want to be changed. It will fight you. It will run from you. And it will leave you wounded if you're not careful. Amen. I cannot change anyone. They have to be willing to be changed. And if they're not receptive, I'm here to tell you, they cannot be saved. I've talked to people. I've went and visited people on their deathbeds that didn't want to hear any more out of me than a man in the moon. That's sad. That's sad. Because here they are, they're facing eternity, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I've done what you wanted me to do. Now, Lord, you know what? It's up to you totally. And if they do not want to accept it, then, Lord, I leave that in your righteous and your judgmental hands, because that's where it needs to be left. Just like this morning's scripture, Jesus will not make anyone love him. Do you know that? He will not. He will not. He will not make anyone get close to him. He will not make anyone live for him. He will not make, but he's saying, I will do all these things and more if you will let me do it. He's looking down on a city. Speaking of Josephus, I went and looked to try to get the population of this city. He said there was like 1 million people in the city at the time of Christ. And Jesus is looking down on this city, and he's saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I loved to have just taken you all under my wing and protected you and cared for you. And yet you would not. Listen to me, folks. Listen, he wants to do that for anybody that's in here this morning. He's wanting to do that for anyone that's willing to be transformed, willing to be what he wants them to be. He is willing to take you under his wings and give you that protection that only he can give you. He's willing to do that this morning. I tell you, sometimes it just baffles me. Listen, the scripture, what I'm saying, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Listen to this scripture. This is such awesome scripture, and I know you've heard this. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door. Did you get that? Mm-hmm. Did you get that? If any man hears my voice, that's the Spirit drawing them, and they open the door. Amen. The preacher can't open it for you. Amen. Do you understand that? Jesus won't open it for you. It's up to you to open that door.
Amen.
When you open your heart's door, listen to me. He said, listen to what he, this is a promise from him. Listen to what he says. I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he will with me. That's what the Lord says. That's a promise from him this morning. He's saying, if you don't be a porcupine, if you don't be a porcupine, he said, and let and open the door, I will come into you. I will, absolutely, he will come into you if you will do that. He will do it. The problem is, that I've seen as a pastor, the problem is this. For many years, they've heard the knock. They've heard it. They've heard it. Maybe time after time after time. And people would not answer the door. They won't. You say, well, preacher, why do people keep coming to the altar sometimes? There's different reasons people come to the altar. I understand that. But there are some people that come to the altar that never get it. And never get it. Because why? They hear the knock. They hear the knock. They hear it. But they won't truly open the door and let Jesus come in and sup with them. Why? Because they want to keep the door partially shut.
Yeah.
You know that? They want to keep it partially shut. Well, I'm going to keep some of what I've got over here, Lord. You know, I'm going to do that. And you know what? Lord, you can have us. No, the Lord wants it all. He wants the door wide open. That's what he wants. You give it all to him, and I guarantee you through the scripture that he will come into you. He will do that. And then he hears a knock. Have you ever gone to someone's house? Maybe you haven't. Have you ever gone to someone's house and you knew they were there?
Yeah.
You knew they were there. Matter of fact, there was the television blasting or the radio or something all at once. Whenever you pull up, everything goes, you know, you get out of the car and you hear it, and all at once everything goes quiet. You go up and you knock on the door and you know they're in there. And nobody comes and answers the door. What do you think Jesus feels like? What do you feel like whenever that happened? What do you feel like whenever that happens? Jesus keeps knocking. He keeps knocking. He keeps knocking. And he wants people to come. But you know what? He's not going to break the door down. He's not going to do it. And he's wanting to give you a better way and a better life. And you know what? He will not break it down. He wants you to open the door. Scripture says this. You know what I mean? This is a promise from God also. He will give you a better life. This is a promise. Listen to what it says. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know what Jesus said? This is red letter in your Bible. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I'm not talking about all the riches you want. I'm not talking about all that kind of stuff. Don't take it as that way. I'm talking about spiritual life. I'm talking about where, you know what, as old Haver Gribble used to say it, he said, you feel like you could whoop a sack full of wildcats. And he would say that all the time. And that is the truth. It feels like you could stand up against the Goliaths of the world and stand up and do the things that you know what, you didn't think you could do. But I'm here to tell you, he will give you life and give it to you more abundantly.
Amen.
There's no comparison between the first half of that scripture and the last half of it. You see what the devil wants to do for you? And you tell me why people keep going after the world and after the devil when all that he wants to do is keep destroying. The thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. And they keep going after it. And they keep going after it. They keep going after it. It's like, I believe Einstein said this. I may be wrong on this, but he said, to keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. Is that not true? It is true. There is no comparison. But if you will not let him in, he will not override your will. You can keep right on going down the path of destruction. You can keep going right on down the path that the devil has laid out for you. He will not override it. Because I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, he will not hug a porcupine. He won't. Jesus will knock down the door and barge in. He's not like that. But he will keep knocking. Now, if Jesus won't override an individual, we can't. And neither should we try to either. Do you get that? We're to compel people. But after a while, you know, we can compel as much as we want. I'm here to tell you, we can't make people go to heaven. You can't make people go to church. You can't make people live for the Lord. You cannot do it. No matter how much we try, no matter what we want to, what we think we can impose on people. There's a guy at 14th Avenue that used to say this. He said, you can drag him to the altar, but he said the devil will drag him back out. Years ago, and believe you me, I understand some of this years ago. The preachers would go back to the back, and they would back there, and they'd talk to people and try to get them to come to the altar. And you know, I understand some, if the Lord's leading you to do it. Sometimes I wonder if that was always the case. But I remember seeing this years ago. But you know what? And I thought about that scripture that, as that man said, he says, you can drag them to the altar. But you know what? The devil can drag them right back out. Because you know what? They didn't get what was needed when they got up there. They were just butt up there because maybe mommy or daddy or somebody else drug them up there. That's not the way to do it. We can't make our families or our friends live for Christ if they don't want to. We cannot make them. Like I said, we should compel them with everything we got and let them know that there's a better way. But we cannot drag them up here. That's why I named the sermon this morning. You know what I did? I read it, put me in the mind of a porcupine and how that they work. That's why I titled the sermon what I did. You cannot hug a porcupine. You know how many a porcupine has? 30,000 quills in it. It has 30,000 quills. Whenever you approach a porcupine, that thing will either run or it'll stand and fight for itself. And whenever it does that, they tell me, as I looked it up, they said it could put quills in you, and those quills have barbs on them, and you cannot pull them out. You can't. You have to almost have them cut out. That's how they do. They said they're sharper than a needle when they go in, and they're that bad. When I was looking it up, I seen pictures of a dog that had these quills all over its mouth. They said they've killed grizzly bears that had quills deep into their mouths and into their, already rooted into where they tried to get a porcupine. You cannot hug a porcupine. You can't do it because the thing will either run or it'll attack. So I got to thinking, yeah, Lord, that is a good sermon. They're not lovable. They're not cuttable animals. You know what? They got a cute little face on them, but they're not something that you would really want for a pet. They're not social animals. They're not in schools or packs or anything like that. They hang out by themselves most generally. You can't hug a porcupine. You just can't do it. There are people that I've dealt with who are just like this porcupine. Yes, they are. You try to minister to them, and they don't want ministered to. They don't want that done. They don't want preached to. They don't want taught. They want their lives to do the same way that they want to do their lives, and that's the way that they're going to do it. They're just like a porcupine. They either run or they will attack whenever they're approached. They're in all families. They're in our workplaces. Yes, they are. You be honest. You've come across them. You know what I'm talking about. You may live beside of them. They may be acquaintance to you, or they're wanting to do. And all you're wanting to do is share the gospel message of Jesus Christ and how that He can make their lives better. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it, not whatsoever. All you're wanting to do for them is to grow closer to the Lord. Listen to me. I preach a lot about growing closer, trying to live closer to the Lord. And there's reasons why I do that. Because I have a desire for everybody, not just me, everybody in this church, everybody that I preach and teach to grow closer to Him. But there's some people that you can't preach to like that. They're just like porcupines. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to do it. There have been porcupines who have attended churches where I've attended, where I've pastored. There have been porcupines who have attended Drift Run Church. I told you I was going to speak my heart. Psalms tells us that the Psalms 133, and I know you all know this psalm. As a church, we have to have unity. And this is what it says right here. How good and pleasant is it when God's people do what? Live together in unity. That's what it tells us. Brothers and sisters, porcupine don't want to live in you. Remember I told you they were by themselves. I'm here to tell you, as church, Drift Run Church, as any church, we need to live in unity. And he goes on to say, it is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows, where there's unity, now get this, is where the Lord bestows his blessings. Yep. Now I want you to get this, this is important. Bestows his blessings and life evermore. Man, that should make us shout. That should make us want to praise God with everything we got in us. If there's unity in the church, there's blessings, there's life. Folks, if there's no unity in a church, listen, the three things that I love to preach about are preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching about unity in the church, and preaching about living a life that, you know what, that makes people want and draws people to us. That's the three things. Most generally, my sermons will deal with all those things. I love preaching about those because, brothers, that's what we need to understand. Without unity, though, we're not preaching the gospel. Without unity, people aren't living the lives that they need to live to draw others into it. Folks, you can't hug a porcupine. It won't work. It just won't work. You'll get too many quills in you. It's Matthew 12:25. Every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not what? It shall not stand. Unity. Unity. That's what it takes. That's what we get. That's what we do. That's where we're at. Philippians, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. I'm here to tell you, porcupines don't see that value. Most of them, it's all about themselves. So you ask me why I don't chase porcupines? Again, I want to say I don't deal with the quills. I don't deal with them. And I'm here to tell you, that's my thought on that. I told you I was going to be honest with you this morning. I want you to understand that. I'm being honest, as heartfelt as I can be. And I hope you agree with me on that. But you know what? If you don't, that's fine. I still love you. There are porcupines that have never set foot in this church. Do you agree with me on that? Oh, yeah. They've never set foot in this church. And like those that are found in the church, they will either attack or they will run. Have you ever talked to anybody about coming to church? They're old enough, but a bunch of hypocrites down there. Right? The quills come out. Yeah. The quills come out. I don't want to go to that church. It's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. It's a, you know what? This is one I really love. I don't need to go to church to be close to God. You know what? You may be true there in some of that, but I'm here to tell you this morning, the Bible says that we need to assemble ourselves together so much more even as we see the day approaching. Not because I want you to be in church so I can put numbers on the board, but because I know that if you're in church, praise God, hopefully we can grow together in unity, that we can be what we need to be, and that we can go out to a lost and dying world and do what we need to do. That's why I like to see people in church. Not because I like to look out there and see what the numbers are. My Bible tells me if two or three people are gathered together in His name and you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, I'm here to tell you, brother, you can set the world on fire. Amen? A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They will run from you when they see you coming. Oh, yes, they will. Folks, there are some that will never be reached. There are some, I'm going to say this, there are some in your family, there are some in my family, there are some out here around us that will never be reached. Never. And you say, well, Dave, that's mean. Matthew 10:12-14. And as you enter the home, give it your greeting. And if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, what's it say to do? Leave that home or town, shake the dust off your feet.
Amen.
Let God do the dealing. Let God do the dealing. We are to compel. We are to love until the day that we die or that they die. But there are some maybe that will never ever come to know the love of Jesus Christ in their heart. Why? Because he has knocked and he has knocked and he has knocked. And you know what's happened? That knock's got weaker down through the years. That knock's got weaker down through the years. And now it's not even audible to them. My Bible tells me he only has to deal with you once. That he has to do is deal with you once. Do everything to reach the lost, but remember this, you are maybe talking to a porcupine who doesn't want to be loved, doesn't want to know the Lord, wants to live their lives the way that they want to live their lives. Just keep that in mind. They come get a song this morning. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, it says this, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. I'm going to say that. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? He's not his will. But guess what? The trouble lies with Jesus. The trouble lies with the porcupine that's not accepting it. It's not his will. But sometimes it's the people's will that will not accept Jesus into their heart. I found out that a lot of porcupines have relationship issues. I'm not talking about relationships in the church. I'm talking about the relationship between them and Jesus Christ. Amen? You know what? As we stand here this morning, we'll get a song. I'm going to ask you this morning. You know, I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at. But if Jesus is still knocking this morning, there's still hope. He wants you to turn everything over to him. Absolutely everything. Not part of it, not some of it, everything. Amen. Let him have it. Let him totally have it. And if you're a porcupine here this morning, the Lord can dequail you. Amen?
Amen.